Amen. Welcome in. Thank you for coming out in this weather to the service, the early service. We'll go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and we thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. We don't take it lightly, Lord, that we have our health and our wisdom about us, Father. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us this week. Thank you for your mercies that are new each and every day. Father, we pray your blessing upon each and every facet of this service, that it be to glory and edify the name of Jesus. Enemy of ours, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. You have no place here. You have no right to be in the house of God. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. Lord, I submit myself as a vessel to be used by you. My words and my thoughts be yours, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if you want to write down the title of the sermon, it's called Made for More. Made for More. So often, one of the lies of the enemy is to convince us that we are no use to God. We have no place in the kingdom. We have nothing to do or offer for God's kingdom, which is a total lie of the enemy. When we believe our past, what we were, what we did, what was done, what we did to others, what was done to us, has disqualified us from being used in the kingdom of God, we have taken the bait, the oldest bait, that the enemy has to offer us. If you read the Word of God, you learn that you are a vital part of God's plan. Vital. Even our experiences, our past, our trials, our tribulations, our failures, every attack of the enemy is an avenue that God can use, not only for us, but for those that we are in contact with. We are made for more. Made for more. Today I want to expose the lie of the enemy, his opinion. It doesn't take much reading in the Bible to come across a person who had his own or her own issues to overcome, but by faith and trust in God, they were overcomers despite their journey, despite their past, despite whatever it was that was lagging behind. They were used by God in a great and mighty way, not only to be a blessing for themselves, but a blessing to many. 1 Timothy 1 is part of my text today, verses 15 and 16. And I want to read this in the New Living Translation because it gives an understanding that helps me, and I'm hoping it would help you as well. It says, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I am the worst of them all." This is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, "But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinner. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life." And I just thought that version was quite revealing. It was an awesome, awesome revelation that despite what I am or what I was, God, Jesus came and died so that I can be saved and have eternal life. That he has this great patience, even in my worst times and in my failures and my messes, whatever I mess up, God is still patiently waiting and working through the Holy Spirit in my life to make me a better person, to make me more than what I think I am. God's opinion of who you are is so much different than what we have in our own thoughts. But, you know, the Bible says that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. It is amazing when you start reading the Word of God and realizing just who you are in Christ Jesus and who God is. once we have that realization, it's a lot harder for the enemy to knock you off your mark there. We're looking at Paul. Paul has this realization that this salvation, this redemption, this redeeming is for all, no matter where they may consider themselves in their sin meter. Because we look at some people and say, oh, you know, that person wasn't much of a sinner. Oh, I beg to differ. Oh, sin is sin is sin, regardless of what it is. That means the murderer is no different than the liar and the cheater. It's all sin. It is all sin. There's no great sin, no little sin. It is just sin in God's eyes. And Romans 3 and 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But verse 24 says, but we are made right in the sight because of Christ Jesus, his sacrifice. All. But we are made right in his sight. With this understanding, we see the lie of the enemy. We are made for more. We limit ourselves when we think that our abilities alone are going to be the ones that take us to where we need to be. And let me tell you something. When you get in ministry for God, if you start relying on your own self, your failure is your name. It is not about you. It is not your ministry. It is about God. You are simply the servant that he is using. And once you realize that this is for him and for his glory, and you take yourself and put yourself back behind it, which is where you should be, then you understand that the enemy can't knock you off by telling you your shortcomings. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it's not my strength, it's him. We have been made right or righteous, some versions say, through the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed on the cross of Calvary. Once we understand that, you will see that you are made for more than you can even imagine. Jesus said in John 8 and 44, and he was talking about Satan, he said, he is a liar and the father of it. So when the enemy speaks to you, chances are, the Bible says he doesn't have any truth in him, so it's usually a lie. Listen to what he says. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, then it's not the truth. Let's look at Paul as an example. Now, he said, I am the chief sinner. In some versions, it says, in this one, it says, I am even the worst sinner. I am the worst sinner. Paul, let's talk about Paul for a moment. Paul had the best education that you could get. Paul was a Pharisee. He was a Roman citizen by birth. This is something that people would purchase greatly. It's great cost to be a Roman citizen. That had clout. That had that came with, you know, privileges to be a Roman citizen. He was a persecutor of the church of Jesus Christ, and he also was one consenting at Stephen's death. Stephen was the first martyr for Christ in the Bible. That's Acts 7, Acts 8, and Acts 9. Paul in Acts 9 was given the letter to go out and actually arrest Christians, the followers of Jesus Christ, put them in prison, and torture and kill them. That was what he was given in the letter in Acts 9. What was a Pharisee? Pharisee was, he was of the economic class of people. They were distinguished by their rigid adherence to specific behaviors. They lived by the law. They had a law for everything, how you wash your hands, how you enter the house. How it's a legalistic tradition generally by man. The Pharisees were. Matthew 23 and 27, Jesus told them that they were whitewashed tombs full of dead man's bones and uncleanliness. Because it was outward. It was all outward. There was nothing on the inside that was clean as far as spiritually. They took on the legalistic side of the Bible, of Moses' law, but they had no inside, they were not clean. He said, you're full of dead man's bones and unclean. It's interesting when Jesus starts calling them that. But Paul, you know, he had the best of everything. And then he has this experience on the road to Damascus with Jesus. And he lived blind for 3 days. And they sent Ananias to him, God did, to pray for him. The scales fell off his eyes, and he went away to spend some time with God. But even when he went to minister, some of the Christians were like, you know, I heard about this guy. So Barnabas would go with him in some of the areas to help them bring him into the, you know, religious sect with the Christian sects, with sections with the Christians, so that they could, you know, have no fear of him, that he truly had been converted to Christian, to be a follower of Christ. But I want to turn to Acts 28, and I want to explain to you how God gave me this message. I was listening to someone minister last week or two. I can't remember when it was. And this fell on my heart. Now, Paul has been arrested, and he pulled his Roman citizenship card. And so they're shipping him to Rome so that he could go before Julius Caesar or whoever was in power at that time. He was a Roman citizen, so he desired the best court to condemn him. So he is on a ship. The storm comes, and Paul tells him, said, everybody stay on the ship. God's told me, the angel come and told me, said, if we stay on the ship, we won't lose life. We'll lose the ship, but we're not going to lose any lives. So they stay on the ship. They are shipwrecked on the island of Malta. And everybody is alive because they were wise enough to listen to Paul, even though they didn't listen to Paul not to go. But he suffers so much hardship. He's house arrested. He's put in jail. And I'm not talking like jails we have now. I'm talking deep, dark pits and dungeons. And where he's chained up in darkness, and all he can do is preach the gospel to whoever is there to hear it. Because when you're in your darkest moments, you better be drinking Jesus into the effect. He's the only light. This man has experienced beating. He'd been beat. He actually was drug out one time. They thought he was dead, left him out there to die outside the gates, and the Christians came and got him and brought him in. Paul has experienced a few things. And so he's shipwrecked on this island, and it says, once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built us a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, viper is what the virgins say, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. And the people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, a murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. Near the shore where they landed was an estate of Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. And his father was ill with fever and dysentery. Paul went in and prayed for him, and laying his hands on him, he healed him. Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. As a result, we were showered with honor. And when the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. I think they were on the island, scholars say, 3 months. 3 months. But it took me, when I heard that, when I heard the preacher talk about him shaking off the snake. And you know what? And now it looks in our lives a lot. If we learn to shake off the snake, not only are we blessed, but we are able to bless others. Can you see that? When the enemy comes and attaches itself to you, or tries to, don't be upset by it. Don't be focused on the snake. You know, Paul didn't even give it much attention. He just shook it off. Do you know why Paul did that? Because Paul had a promise from God that he was going to travel to Rome and be able to witness to those in Rome about Jesus Christ. Sometimes we lose our focus when we go through trials and temptations, and the enemy has attached himself to us in one part or the other. Don't think that the weapons won't form. We just can't allow them to prosper. God promises they won't prosper unless we give room for them to prosper. Are you going to do that? I'm calling you today. You are made for more. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, what's happened to you. Are you going to allow that snake to stay attached? Or are you going to shake it off in the fire? It is time to shake it off. Your children depend upon that. Every person in your family depends upon that. Your church people depend upon it. The people on your job, the people in your lives, when they see you be victorious because of who Christ is, not yourself, when they see you shake that thing off and go on in joy and peace and love, all the things that God has given us through the Holy Spirit, that thing won't have no power over them either. And they'll come seeking you. What is different about you? I've heard that. What is different about you? Something's different about you. Let me tell you about Jesus. That's your opportunity to share Jesus, not you. It's your opportunity to share what Jesus has done for you. You need to shake off the snake. Don't give it no attention. It only gets bigger and more scarier when we worry about it, when we think about it, when we look at it, when we talk about it, when we give it power over us. As the pastor said, don't give it permission. No permission. You don't have permission to be that way. I am the child of God. Next week, we're going to talk about identity. Don't miss it. It's going to be an interactive service. I'm going to need your help. Luke 10 and 19. He says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Serpent and scorpions. Do you know what that represents in the Bible? That's the enemy and his whole crew. The scorpions, Revelation 9. You can read about it when they're let loose. He's called the angel destroyer. And they're not allowed to kill man, but they're allowed to torture man. So serpents and scorpions. You have authority. This is before he went to the cross. He just sent the 70 out with that power and that authority. Imagine what we have power as power in the name of Jesus by his blood. That's why you hear us pray in the name of Jesus. It ain't in Sonia's name. It ain't in your name. It ain't in your boo's name, your children's name. It's not in your daddy's name, your pastor's name. It's in the name of Jesus. By the blood. He's got blood on you. He suffered greatly so that you could walk in the power and authority that he died for you to have. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. It's a fruit. But if we don't water it and nurture it, and you know what? That means trials and tribulations. You're going to have to walk through some stuff for it to grow. Our relationship, my husband's relationships and I, we started out, I was just a teenager. We have love today, but it ain't the same love that we had when we first got married. It's better. It's grown and it's matured. It's the same thing with your walk in Christianity. You've got to grow and mature, and that means you're going to go through some stuff. But you know what? If you keep focusing on the snake, he's going to have all the power over you that he needs. Shake him off. You've got a promise. You've got something to do for the kingdom. And God has put you in that place. He has honored you by putting you in that place. Shake off the snake. You are made for more. You are made for more. Don't let that thing, whatever it may be in your life, and it will change from day to day, from season to season. There'll always be something. Shake it off. You are made for more. That's why you're here. That's why he died for you. He has a calling and purpose. That's why you were born at this time, in this place. You are made for more. Quit listening to the lies of the enemy. I want to read 2 Corinthians 10. And I want to read it briefly. It's verse 5. I want to read it in the Message version. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. Let me read that in the King James or New King James Version. And you hear us quote this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments of and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled. This is how you live victorious. This is how the thoughts, as Pastor was so greatly teaching, this is how you take everything that the enemy tells you and you put it against the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it is a lie. It is a lie from the pit of hell. You don't have to hear him talk. You don't have to have a revelation where the angels come down. You simply pick up the Word of God. And if it's not in there, it's not true. It's not true about you. It's not true about God. He can tell you God doesn't love you. 1 John 4 says God is love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. I am loved. I am desired. I am beautifully, wonderfully made. I have purpose. I have a future and a hope. What does the Word say about you? Get in it and find out. You can't defeat the enemy if you don't know what you are in Christ and who he is. What lie is he telling you? I'm standing here today and letting you know you're made for more. You are made for more than what the enemy says. You are made for more than what the world says about you. I don't put my standards in the world no more. I don't dress like them. I don't talk like them. And I definitely try not to act like them. Because there's nothing but death in those things. Death in that life. I've lived it. It leads to death. But there's life in God. And there's love in God. And there's joy and peace in him through Christ Jesus. You are made for more. Do not allow the enemy to lie to you and tell you otherwise. Because my God says that you are loved and needed. And that I have plan and purpose for your life. Stand tall today, child of God. Stand tall. You are not what the world says you are. You are healed. You are whole. You are able. You are brave. You are strong. It's because I have my identity in God through Christ Jesus. Next week, we're going to talk about identity. It's going to be an interactive service. I need you to be here. You've got something to do if you're brave enough to do it. And we're going to talk about the identity crisis that the enemy brings about to you every day. Tells you you can't do it because of who you are. Every day. But you are made for more. Remember that. You are made for more. Thank you, Father, for your word, for your encouragement, for letting us know that we are in you and in you all things are possible. It's not in our own strength, but it is only in you. And that we have a calling on our lives. We have people that need us to be right with you because we are going out to be the light and the witness that we are called to be. We are the cities on the hill, Father, shining bright for all to see. Help this word to come back, grow and take root in our hearts. Come back to our remembrance at the times that we need it so that we walk this earth as the army of God. Strong empowered and overcomers in Jesus' name. Amen.